Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. We are live in the studio, and we'll find out just how live in moments. The doctors have had coffee, and they've been and they have been awake for a while now, taking questions.
Yeah, that's right.
So, we're anxious to talk to you about your health as you're aging. Maybe a recent diagnosis. Give us a call. Here is the number to get through and get into the call queue for our show. It's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. And we were wondering with our last show about the phone lines and the power because of the bomb cyclone.
Yep.
Yeah. We had quite a full show. So hopefully you're able to get through today and we can talk with you and find out what's going on in your world. So doctors, were you affected by the bomb cyclone with no power?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Oh, okay. We had a couple of days with cold, dark.
Yeah.
But we still don't have internet at my house.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Spotty. And the phone lines are also spotty. And then, you know, the comment from the team was they were happy to get the one day off. And then they said, no, I'm bored. I want to go to the office. It's warm and there's coffee there.
And light.
Right. There's nothing in home.
Yes. Well, I was chatting with one of our staff yesterday, and she's still is at home with three children.
Oh,
no electricity, and they have an electric stove, everything. It's an all-electric home, so no hot water, no lights, no stoves, no heat, no nothing.
Yeah. You remember in 2006, Jerry, when that happened, that was the last time I remember it,
yes.
And it was chaos. We had just moved here, and we got a hotel room in Seattle with the children. But it was, it took a long time to get there. And then when we got there, the elevator was very slow.
Oh.
It took us 30 to 40 minutes to get to the room. And then we dare not leave, and there was no food. So.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Well,
it was a memory.
There's a car commercial
that
I enjoyed.
Okay.
It shows these people driving, everything's going backwards. And they said, there are no wrong turns, just unexpected adventures.
Oh, okay.
Or unplanned adventures. And I said, you know, I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know where that phrase came from. Was it one of their copywriters that came up with it, or is it something that somebody important said somewhere? I have no idea. But I'm using that from now on.
Yes.
I think this, you know, whenever something goes awry that you weren't planning on.
Right.
And you cope with it and you make it happen.
That's right.
Okay.
Unplanned adventure.
An unplanned adventure.
Yes.
That's what it was.
That's right.
So we all just had several days of unplanned adventures.
But, you know, it was a reminder to have our safety kits, our first aid kits ready.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Which, you know, we forget, we're told, but we forget. But definitely a time to remember to make sure that you know where your emergency things are, because that's what happens. When it's an emergency, you need it.
Yes.
Well, and we had emergency lights and candles and flashlights and food set aside, although we normally, you know, for us it was kind of unusual because we normally shop for food every day or every other day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chinese wife still shops the way she did as a kid.
Oh, you know?
Okay. So we walk to the grocery store and we buy tomorrow's food in the evening. Oddly enough, for this, we happen to have had 2 or 3 days' worth of food.
Okay.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Cans of chili and a can opener, maybe?
Yeah.
Just in case.
Then we went over to Redmond to Jake's Barbecue.
Oh, okay.
Ever been to Jake's?
No.
No.
Find Jake's Barbecue. They have got really stuff. This is an unpaid commercial for Jake's Barbecue, by the way.
Yes.
I don't get anything out of it, but I got a really great barbecue. Mm. And they have something called Texas caviar.
Oh, okay.
Now, it has nothing to do with fish eggs.
Okay.
Oh. Okay. Uh-oh.
It's pickled chickpeas.
Oh.
Along with some other finely chopped vegetables.
Interesting.
It's just wonderful.
Really?
So, yeah, so go to Jake's, get the Texas caviar as a side with your pulled pork or your ribs. They do good work. Yeah. The price wasn't outrageous.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Now it's going to become outrageous.
Yeah, right? Probably. And now it's lined up out the door. He might need to become a sponsor of the show.
Maybe I should get Jake's Barber. Yeah. And I'm not quite sure how. This is a health show. Maybe we'll get Jake's Barbecue to plug up your arteries so that you can come to, I don't know.
I know.
Maybe you can have a couple of leading edge salads.
What you can do
salads.
Is paleo diet helps build muscle mass, and the caviar salad is a vegetarian protein.
That's right. Yeah, Dr. Mixon's special.
Hey, got to push her in the marketing part of the company.
I don't know. I don't even know where they are.
Oh, boy. I have a donut named after me. Does that work in my...
Donut?
Yeah, the peppermint. The
Lynette donut?
Yeah, well... The peppermint donut. We're talking about the peppermint donuts they have at Christmas, and they're like, we don't make those. When we were on a commercial, and they said, but I guess we'll learn how, and we're going to name it after you. So
right.
I'm like, okay, good. Better than... caviar and fish eggs. So, okay. Well, we've already got some callers on the line. So, doctors, are you ready to dive in?
We're ready for diving.
Okay.
As long as the water
is warm.
No cold plunging for me today.
No, you had enough of that without your power. Okay. So, here's the number to get through today, 206-421-5757. We're headed to Tacoma first.
Before we go to Tacoma, I'm sorry, ma'am, or sir, or whoever it is that's waiting. I'm going to tell a story about the world's best wife.
Okay.
Okay. Kyle, you hang on. John, yeah, you too.
Another Bandine story.
Oh, okay. I love these.
I woke up that first morning, and it was dark, and it was cold. We automatically wake up at 5 o'clock, and it's pitch black outside, and we'd had no heat and no light and no hot water. So what does my loving wife do? She hops out of bed first and tells me, you stay right there. I'll get your coffee and cappuccino. And so she goes in, and fortunately we have a gas stove. Mm-hmm. So she heats the water, she heats the milk, she's got a little battery thing that she whips it. She also, while she's in there, heats a great big stainless steel bowl of boiling water and brings me my coffee, my cappuccino, and then pours the boiling water into my sink. Adds enough cold water so that I have nice hot water to shave in.
Mm-hmm.
You see why I love this woman.
Yes.
Okay, all the ladies out there, when your power goes out, this is your model to make a really happy husband who adores you.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. My daughter had the three kids and was stranded. Husband was at work, couldn't get to her. And, of course, the power was out. And she too, was like leapt into action and had the kids close enough to the fire because they could start a fireplace.
Uh-huh.
So the two older ones were playing, and the other baby was in a walker, so he couldn't get too close. And then she went outside and fired up the barbecue and made eggs and hash browns and sausage and, you know, the whole thing, thinking, you learn. And it is an adventure.
That's right.
It's an adventure.
Unplanned.
And if you don't have a great attitude and treat it as an adventure, you're still going to have the circumstances.
It's like camping, right?
Yeah.
You go camping and you do it.
That's all right.
Although I don't normally camp in November.
Blue tarp camping in Washington.
Right.
All right, Kyle, you've been a gym to wait for us. Kyle is in Tacoma. Welcome, Kyle.
Hello, Kyle. How do we help you today?
Thank you for taking my call, doctor. So my wife recently bought a thing called phytoestrogen with black cohosh. And we know that she's getting older, and she knows that you can get estrogen prescribed, but phytoestrogen. I don't know if it's not white estrogen. And we were wondering what your opinion was about its efficacy. Does it do as good a job? If there's side effects? And then I did have another question about you can get estrogen-like drugs. One of them is called Raloxifene. And I didn't know much about it, and I'd like to know what your opinion is on that, too, if we have time.
Okay. Well, you know, we may take time. I may just expound for a while here.
Please do.
Yes.
First of all, phyto means plant. All right. So these are plant estrogens. Estrogen is not a compound. Why is your hand up?
Oh, my hand up. You know what, Dr. Mixon, sorry
to
interrupt.
Take a break?
No, but I would like Kyle to turn his radio down.
Oh.
Yeah, I hear a lot of feedback. So if you'll turn your radio down, we'll talk for a minute or two more before we take our break. So go ahead, Dr.
Okay. Phytoestrogen means plant estrogens. And estrogen is not one compound. Estrogen is a class of compounds. There are hundreds and hundreds of estrogens in this world. And every animal on the planet makes a unique mixture of estrogens that no other animal makes.
Mm-hmm.
So humans make a particular mix of estrogens that plants don't make. Cohosh and soybeans and so on. You know, you're not a rutabaga. You don't need rutabaga estrogens, all right? You're human. You need human types of estrogens. One of the things that has irritated me for decades is Premarin. CEE, conjugated equine estrogens.
Mm.
Premarin is extracted from the urine of pregnant horses. Two-thirds of the estrogens in Premarin are found only in equine species, in horses, donkeys, and zebras, never in a human being.
Yeah.
And so when we give women Premarin or CEE, conjugated equine estrogens, we're giving a midlife human woman the hormone balance of a pregnant horse. Not just a horse, a pregnant horse.
That just sounds so wrong.
It is wrong. And that's why weird things happen to women on the commercial estrogens. They're not the human estrogen balance. If a woman, a human woman, wants to get her best effect, she needs the human balance of estrogens. We'll talk more when we get back after this break.
Yep, stay right there, Kyle. John and Paul, we're going to talk with you about your questions as well. And if you are listening and you're like, I want to talk to Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat, here's the number. It's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Medicine, Lynette here, along with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat, and we're taking your calls right now, talking with Kyle, and we're talking about estrogen and the good stuff and the bad stuff.
Phytoestrogens versus conjugated equine estrogens.
Versus human-type estrogens.
And so many.
The primary human estrogen made by a woman's ovaries is called estradiol. Okay. And estradiol is the most potent human estrogen she makes. But once that's in her bloodstream, about two-thirds of it is converted in her liver to an estrone. And there are several different estrones, by the way. And depending on which estrones her liver makes, alters her risk for breast cancer. One estrone pattern versus the other. One is quite protective. One is more worrisome. And that's why one of the things we often do at longevity is we give women estradiol. We measure that in her blood. But then we can also, if they have a family history or a personal history of breast cancer, we'll run a urinalysis on the estrogens they're kicking out and look at what kinds of estrogens is your liver turning your estradiol into?
Right.
And one of the estrogens we often give women is a third one called estriol. And estriol is made during pregnancy because it's a protective anti-breast cancer estrogen. So we usually give our women a mixture of some estradiol, which is what the ovary originally produces, and estriol, which is an anti-breast cancer estrogen. Just because of the age of our women, we want to give them some protection above and beyond what would normally happen.
Correct.
So to answer your question, she's not cohosh, she's not a rutabaga, she should have human estrogens. Right?
Thank you, doctor.
But the phytoestrogens are safer than the conjugated equine.
They are safe. They're not going to do her any harm. They're just very weak in human beings, and it takes a lot more phytoestrogens to give the woman the relief that she ought to be getting during menopause.
Right, and if they're significantly symptomatic, you know, black cohosh gives them a little bit of relief. They think it's a miracle.
Yes.
But the real thing will give them
a lot better.
Well, not only that, it is going to do what we expect her normal estrogen to do, which is reduce her risk for heart disease, dementia, colon cancer, osteopenia and osteoporosis. Her skin remains better, her hair is better, and the list just goes on.
On and on. And in our women, they don't just get the estrogen, they also get the protective real progesterone and some testosterone, which dramatically lowers their risk of breast cancer.
Right.
So.
Thank you. Right. Now, how about the raloxifene? It's like an estrogen-like prescription drug.
Yeah, it will help to prevent the vasomotor symptoms, the hot flashes.
Thank you.
But it doesn't really do what we want to have happen.
Okay.
I hear the feedback.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you still got your radio on.
Yeah, we're still hearing it.
But it just doesn't do the job that we're looking for, okay? It's a wonderful profit center for the pharmaceutical companies. Okay? They make hundreds of millions, even a few billion dollars off it, but it's not what your body is designed to function with. It's a stopgap that we're using for people that, for some bizarre reason, don't want to get their body back to the way it really should be.
They're at higher risk for cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, one thing that I can suggest is what Dr. Mixon was saying earlier, the urine metabolism studies, because they really give us a very good idea of how are you metabolizing your own estrogen.
Yeah.
And the breakdown products, as Dr. Mixon said, are really either safe or they are unsafe. They increase your risk for cancer. And then we can take some steps to mitigate those risks for cancer if you are making more of the unsafe, high cancer risk metabolites.
I hope that
are there any bad side effects of raloxifene or these other estrogen-like drugs?
Oh, yes. Yes. Go on your website.
Blood clots.
Yeah. Go on the website and look up raloxifene adverse effects, and you will see a long, long list. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you for that, Kyle. We're going to stay in Tacoma. We have John on the line.
You know, before we leave that topic, I think one of the things that came out of all these pros and cons of hormone replacement therapy was that oral estrogen increases risk for DVTs and blood clots.
Yes.
Okay.
And so taking estrogen orally is harmful.
Yes.
And we know that for a fact.
No one was ever designed to eat sex hormones.
Right. Even if it is bioidentical,
That's right.
That increases the risk.
Yeah. There is no natural source in anybody's diet for sex hormones, unless, you know, your diet includes raw ovaries and testicles, which vanishingly small part of any diet I've ever read about.
Not on the menu. No.
And because even if you cooked them, you'd denature the proteins, you wouldn't get the estrogen and the testosterone anyway. So no, sex hormones are never designed to be eaten. And when you take an estrogen pill, even if it's a bioidentical estrogen, even if it's a human estrogen, in the natural state, a woman's ovaries are trickling out estrogen slowly every hour of the day. Mid-cycle, they go up, then they go down, but there's never a big bolus. When you take the pill, your body thinks it's food. And so you absorb it all. You absorb your full day supply of estrogen within 20 minutes, and that giant bolus of estrogen is carried from the gut to the liver, where it overwhelms the clotting cascade, and now you become hypercoagulable. You can form blood clots in your brain, in your heart, in your legs. It's just a bad idea. So bioidentical or not, never, ever, ever eat or swallow a pill that has estrogen or testosterone. Testosterone, by the way, for you guys, oral testosterone causes liver tumors. Okay, because your liver is getting whacked with this giant dose of testosterone. Your testicles don't make your testosterone in one big whack. They trickle it slowly into the bloodstream, so you get a nice gentle curve. That's why we use transdermals. We put it on as a cream, so it's absorbed through your skin slowly, hour after hour after hour, and we avoid overloading the liver.
Right. And then the only other comment I'll make is smoking increases that risk and multiplies it.
Yes. The only 18-year-old girl I have ever seen have a heart attack, a true MI, was an 18-year-old girl on birth controls and smoking.
Yeah.
And she had a high estrogen birth control, so taking that by mouth interfered with her clotting cascade, and then she was a smoker on top of it, right. And she had a heart attack at 18.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So. What not to do. We talk about those things on the show as well.
Yep.
All right. We're going to take a break in a few minutes, but let's first get to John from Tacoma, at least get his question in before we take the break. Hi, John. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Hello, John.
Hi. So I'm almost the same age as Dr. Mixon.
Okay.
And have been a patient. So anyway, for a little over the last year, I've had melanoma. Mm-hmm. And the treatment's done fairly good. I'm using Keytruda.
Good. Checkpoint
and
inhibitor.
And they give it to me every 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you could see things changing.
Good.
There's other details I won't bother you with. But anyway, the doctor decided that what he wanted to do was to give me a shot every 6 weeks. So this, at six-week intervals, I would get the same quantity that I would get if I had done two separate shots.
Okay.
But, you know, it would be sort of packed up at the first day. And so we're coming to the end of the first 2 months of that. And I'm feeling like my brain is sort of shutting down, and my memory has got lots of holes in it now. And I have to make the decision as to whether or not to go back to the every 3 weeks or every 6 weeks. Maybe the 6 weeks is giving me a super dose at the beginning and then helping kill the cancer stuff. But it's also killing my brain.
Yeah. All right. We have to take a quick break. And we're going to come back to this because this is a very important subject for you. So we're going to address it. Okay?
Yep. John, stay
chat
right
with
there.
You in just about 2 minutes.
Yep. And Paul and Steve, you stay with us as well. If you'd like to get into the call queue, here is that number. It's 206-421-5757. We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment.
I'm picking up vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up vibrations.
Listen. Lynette here with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, taking your calls, answering your questions. Here's that number. It's 206-421-5757. Go ahead and give us a call. We'll put you in the call queue. Right now we're talking with John in Tacoma.
Okay, John, you're on a very, very potent medication that has a lot of adverse effects. On the other hand, it may well be what saves your life. You know, this is one of the best drugs for your disease. On the other hand, yeah, there's a lot of neurologic problems with it, okay? 55% of the people have some sort of altered mental status, okay? 52% get some cognitive impairment. 29% even get seizure disorders, psychiatric disturbances, memory problems, sleepiness, cramps.
Muscle weakness.
Yeah, even things that look like myasthenia gravis. Yeah. I mean, it hits the entire central nervous system as well as the immune system.
Correct.
So, you know, yes, this is a potent drug, and there is a significant side effect profile with it.
Right.
The good news is that it is especially good for melanomas. And so it is one of the best drugs around for that. One of the things that occurs to us, you know, during the break, Dr. Umat looked up the half-life of this. He said it was what, 22 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a 22-day half-life. So that means in 3 weeks, half of the drug is out of your system. And so in 3 weeks, you know, when half of it's gone, they gave you another full dose, and that kicked your dose up to, you know, the full dose plus a bit. And over several cycles, it'll build up and build up and build up until it reaches a steady state. By dropping it to every 6 weeks, you now have two half-lives. So let's start with if we call your peak 100, in 3 weeks, you've dropped to 50. In 6 weeks, you've dropped to 25. Okay. So there's not as much drug in your system by the end of the 6 weeks.
Except that they gave him a higher dose.
But.
Yeah, they gave me the equivalent of 100.
You doubled the
50.
Dose. Yeah, you double the dose. But the biomechanics of it are, you're going to lose 0.5%. So let's say now that instead of taking it to 200, they took you to 200, okay? Because they've doubled up your dose. Now you started at 200, which is twice as high. In 3 weeks, you're down to 100. If half-life is still one half of the drug. And so in 6 weeks, you're now down to 50. And then they kick you back up, all right? That's probably why you're developing more neurologic symptoms on the higher dose less frequently, because your overall amount of drug in your system is staying significantly higher. And
so I guess his question is, should he do the half dose every 3 weeks, or should he do the double dose every 6 weeks?
And before I could answer that, I need to visit with his oncologist.
Right. Yeah, we don't know that. Right.
Because what I'm looking for is what made the oncologist believe you needed a higher dose? Was he not getting the kill result he wanted on your melanoma? And so did he raise the dose in an effort to get better kill? Or was this just a matter of, you know, convenience? Did he say, okay, let's not drag this guy in every 3 weeks. Let's drag him in every 6 weeks instead. But at a double dose, if this is when your neurologic symptoms started getting bad, the question is, how much are you willing to accept? And will these neurologic symptoms resolve? When I've looked at the literature, I'm finding some people they resolve and some people they don't. You know, because you're actually damaging neurons, and some of the neurons recover and sometimes they don't recover. So there are some people that maintain their cognitive holes a year or so out. And if they're still having it a year from now, odds are it's going to be permanent.
Well, I think the idea was because I live down near Tacoma and I have to go up to Fred Hutch, that they'd save my driving time. And so I think basically based on what you're saying, I think I'm going to vote for the let's go back to the 3 week.
Unless he's seen indicators that it's not covering your cancer enough.
Yeah.
Okay. If the every 3 weeks and the lower blood levels, yeah, your brain is doing better, but your cancer may, you know, continue to spread and kill you. Well, now you got a more serious problem to make. Do you take a risk on dying or do you accept the neurologic injury? You know, these are not easy questions, and they're certainly not the guy on the radio can answer for you. Mm. But you need to have a full disclosure discussion with your physician. Tell him exactly what's happening. Tell him what's concerning you. And then ask him, why are we raising this? Is this for my convenience? Because if it's my convenience, I'm willing to drive.
Mm.
Okay? Because I don't like what's happening here. On the other hand, if it's to do a better job of killing the cancer, well, you may want to give him a very different answer.
Yeah, well, I've actually arranged for that discussion to take place before the thing happens. So,
good.
Okay, thanks for the information.
You're welcome,
and
sir.
And good luck to you, sir.
Yes,
yeah, I mean, Keytruda has been a life-saving drug for melanoma patients. It was nothing.
It's a wonderful, terrible drug.
Yeah. Yeah, I had somebody else say that to me. You know, he's taking care of his elder parents, and he said, modern medicine is a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Always is.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Mixon's first rule of medicine, anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt.
Yeah.
You know, there's a downside to every decision we make in our business.
Right.
And, you know, we need to keep reminding ourselves and our patients that we aren't perfect, neither are our drugs. And, you know, there's going to be costs for every benefit.
You know, and that's why that thing about, let's say, health promotion now.
Yes.
We keep coming back to the same thing, right? If we know that aging is the number one risk factor for all of these causes, what can we do as we are aging to minimize those risks for ourselves?
That's right.
And in the past, we used to think nothing. There was nothing we could do.
Yeah, you're just getting old. We're just getting old. And all the bad stuff was going to happen.
But now we know that that's not true anymore.
It doesn't need to be true.
Yeah.
It is true for most of the world. It doesn't have to be true for patients at a place like Longevity Medical Clinic.
Yeah.
So once more, we come back to, if you don't like what time and gravity are doing to you, you ought to come see us, because there's not very many places that do the job we do. And most of the places that do what we do will cost you an enormous increase over what we do. There are places on Manhattan, and accepted, everybody here in our clinic, your total cost, if you add up prescription drugs, supplements, our fees, pile it all together, yeah, you're probably going to be in the neighborhood of $6,500 to $7,500 a year, about $7,000 a year. But there's places, if you go down to Las Vegas and go to Cenogenics' average cost is nearly $30,000 a year.
It is.
You go to some of the places in New York and Manhattan, it's $100,000 a year.
Right. But then put that in perspective, Jerry. If we can save you from being in a nursing home for a few months, 1 month in a nursing home is over $10,000 a month.
Yes. Yeah. Every month of nursing home care is going to cost you a year and a half of longevity. A person who comes to Longevity Medical Clinic, if we can save you 1 year in a nursing home, it would pay for more than 20 years at Longevity Medical Clinic.
Yeah.
The cost benefit, you know, 1 year in the nursing home or 20 years at longevity, same price.
Mm-hmm.
But feeling better.
But feeling
and
better.
Healthier.
20 years of enhanced health. 20 years of being able to live as well as people 20 and 30 years younger than you, you know, for an extra 20 years. I don't see why anybody hesitates if they can come up with the cash.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Obviously, there are always going to be people that do not have the money. But you know what? For most Americans, it's not that they don't have the money. It's the priorities.
Yeah.
They'd rather get a new car every 2 or 3 years instead of go to longevity. Because a year at longevity, about the same annual cost of owning an automobile. So, you know, and people own 2 and 3 cars but don't think they can afford longevity. That's crazy. Because then they end up in the nursing home and their entire estate goes to the nursing home, yeah. Not to their kids.
Well, we would love to have you as a patient, and we would love to have you come in. We call it a free health analysis appointment. That's where we get to meet you, do a blood test, and an in-body test. And you get to meet the doctor, see our facilities. Now, we also have a lab, a big blood draw that we do. It's about $595. We encourage you to do that because the doctors are going to get so much information about what you could be at risk for, things like dementia, heart problems, diabetes, joint dysfunction, all sorts of things. And they can help you decide what to do, make a plan, and get you on your way to better health.
At roughly $600.
That's right.
Let's the doctor figure out what it's going to take to get you where you really want to go.
Yes.
Then, once we know that, you get to make a choice. Do you want to be a patient, or do you want to continue sliding downhill?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, if you like what's happening, just keep it up. Because it's going to keep happening and get faster and faster.
That's right. You can't will it away. Here is that number to call to make your health analysis appointment. It's 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to lmclinic.com.
You know,
taking a break and we'll be right. Oh, we got to take our break.
With the holiday season coming up, this could be the best gift you could give to yourself or to your family.
Yep. So.
Very good. All right. Let's take our break. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. We are headed to Seattle. We have Paul on the line. Welcome, Paul, and thank you for waiting today.
Hello, Paul.
Good morning. I have a question for those of us that didn't want to be part of an experimental drug trial back in COVID days, and it still is going on. What if you had to get blood from someone that had mRNA shots? Does that imply that you would now have it in your bloodstream? Let's say you had to have, you know, an operation and things like that, and you needed blood. Do you have any, you know, studies on that or thoughts on that?
No, I don't. I have thoughts. I don't have studies. But I have thoughts on a whole lot of stuff, and my motto is never in doubt, frequently wrong. When I shoot from the hip and come up with ideas and opinions without the data to support them, boy, am I off base a whole lot.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
So we don't know, you're saying.
Admit that. I don't know. It doesn't mean we as a
medical profession.
I mean, some things I know. I know, for instance, that a blood transfusion from somebody that had their vaccine a year ago is not going to provide you with any protection. Okay. And that's
I'm not talking about protection. I'm talking about.
I understand.
Okay.
I'll explain the limits of what I do and don't know. Okay. So I know it's not going to protect you because even the full dose of their immune system only lasts about 5 to 6 months. You lose 50% of your protection in the first 6 months. And so then that small fraction of blood that you took out. And then you put the packed red cells in because you're not usually getting the serum. They almost never transfuse whole blood anymore. You normally get fractions of the transfusion because if you're having surgery, what you really need is volume, which came from the saline, the salt water they ran, and the packed red cells. They're going to use the platelets for people with leukemia. Okay. So, and the serum is going to be taken out, and they're going to use that in laboratory testing and drug development. So they're going to sell that for different stuff. So when you donate blood, there almost nobody gets whole blood. You get the fractions that you need, and they sell off different parts of it for different reasons. So, you know, if you look at what's actually happening, the fact that if you got a transfusion, you'd mostly just be getting the red cells, you're probably not getting much of anything as far as the messenger RNA, because most of that is bound in the immune fractions. But, you know, do I have peer-reviewed studies where they've actually gone and done messenger RNA changes in people that received a transfusion of packed cells from somebody that had been immunized?
Yeah.
I don't believe the studies have ever been done.
I don't know. It's actually a great question. So are you worried that you might get a side effect from somebody who's had a COVID vaccine? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, because, you know, I've actually discussed this with someone that's quite knowledgeable in blood transfusion, used to be an operating room assistant, and she expressed the same concerns as I. Like, let's say you know, couldn't donate your own blood. We don't know whose blood you're getting. And since, you know, such a large percentage of the population went and got those vaccines, those of us that didn't want them, we're concerned about that. You know, the mRNA, does it transfer over? So now you've got it, because supposedly you've got that mRNA forever. You know, it might not protect you from COVID, but...
Yeah, but you don't. That's the point.
Yeah.
Messenger RNA is short-lived, and it changes the cells that it enters, but then it doesn't usually continue. We get messenger RNA from the bacteria in our gut 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay? Those bacteria are sending us messages. As we change the bacteria, we get different messenger RNA. And the bacteria are getting our messenger RNA. Every cell in your body is using messenger RNA to communicate with every other cell in your body. We call those exosomes and acellular vesicles that are budding off from all of our cells, and they're sending messenger RNA back and forth. It's a two-way street. Your brain's sending it to your liver, which is sending it to your kidneys, which is sending it to your muscles and your skin and your lungs. And so when you get messenger RNA in your system, one of the reasons that the vaccines don't last very long is that it alters the cells that it goes into, but then when you have a new generation of cells, you've lost the effect. It's like periodically, as part of my own therapy for me and my efforts to be the best I can be, periodically I get intravenous exosomes and acellular vesicles taken from the umbilical cord and placentas of newborns, okay? Normally, they throw those things away. I go to labs that process that, collect the exosomes, the messenger RNA, and put it into me. And this is stuff that then helps reprogram my 77-year-old cells to say, hey, you're just a brand new newborn. Grow, heal, repair, get strong, get fast, get everything you want to be. Okay. But then I have to do that about every 3 to 4 months, because guess what? That messenger RNA that came into my system to tell my cells that, it went away when those cells died and got replaced by new cells. So then I got to reprogram the next set of cells. And then when that wears out, I got to reprogram the next set of cells. And so Dr. Umat is very aware, I come in about 3 to 4 times a year and let them put in newborn baby messenger RNA into my bloodstream to say, hey, let's get this old coot moving as fast and hard as he can.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, you know, I was listening to a podcast by, she's an emergency room physician on the East Coast. She's a contributor to Fox News. And really quickly, we have to go, but she was saying that where the vaccine does cause increased risk for myocarditis in young men, the risk for myocarditis with COVID is much higher than if you were vaccinated. Ah. So you know, there's risk and there's pros and cons. It's just a matter of how we look at it.
Everything the disease can do to you, so can the vaccine.
Yeah.
It's just not as potent.
Correct.
All right.
The disease itself is much more potent.
Much worse.
We're not going to ignore you, but we have to take a break.
You stay right there, Paul. We're going to take a quick break at the top of the hour here, and we will be back.
When we get back, you can say what you want to say, okay?
Absolutely. More Leading Edge Medicine. Our phone number is 206-421-5757. Stay right there.